Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to begin praying,
There.
and then we will. No, there's no sauce. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Lord, I just pray that you would be with us today. I'm just thankful for life, Lord God, and Lord, that there is life here as we gather together, Father God, and we just thank you for it, Lord. Just continue to grow us in Jesus and in your name. Amen. So today, I'm going to give a pretty simple message, you know. I did pass out a handout, and it's very similar to a Neil Anderson's Who Am I in Christ? We may not even get to that today, but Carolyn used it last night in the meeting, in the Tuesday night discipleship meeting. And I just think it's really important to know who we are in Christ, because we always have the culture and our own thoughts and insecurities telling us what we're not and who we are not, right? And so we have a great inheritance in the Lord. So I'm going to begin in wait 1 second. Nope. Never mind. Okay. I'm going to start in 1 John 4:18. And the reason why I'm doing this today is because it really sparked something last week when we were talking with Tasha and Jasmine about different kinds of fear. You know, we talked about the fear of the Lord and how fear limits us, and how, you know, it's not good to have that kind of fear, you know, and that even in the midst of fear, we push forward, right? And that's really what faith is and courage is. So let me just read in 1 John 4:18, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love," that is Jesus, the person, "casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." So we all know, as human beings, we are going to experience certain fears. You know, some are good, don't touch a hot stove, right? But some are just, they're paralyzing, and they don't give you peace. And we know where that comes from. It usually comes from the enemy, and oftentimes it comes from the enemy due to our woundedness and our trauma, right? And so, really, when you're in the presence of the Lord, there is a holy awe that comes over you, right? And it's almost a holy terror sometimes. I can't explain it any other way. And it's like once you cross that threshold in faith, there's this grand freedom that we experience in the spirit. Any of you ever experienced that, where you just kind of know you have to just leap over that thing that's resisting you? And sometimes it's warfare, sometimes it's our own stuff. It doesn't really matter. As long as we leap forward, we're going to be in good shape. So just the whole premise that there's no fear in love, you know, that perfect love comes through Jesus, means that when we are under feeling ashamed or condemned, or we were, you know, a bad Christian that day or whatever, that we are under the law and under the idea of punishment rather than grace. And I say that often, and it sounds very simple, but I'm telling you, it is ingrained in us to measure our success in the Lord by those very things, you know, and we don't want to fall under the law and under condemnation, but to really understand the grace of God and the love of God, and that in the journey of walking in love, in walking in the love of God, we experience less and less of those fears. Now, it could be our first reaction. We saw that with the disciples, right? when they're in the boat. It can be your first reaction. That's, I think, normal and human, you know. But when we choose to follow the spirit, we overcome our reluctance that is in our natural fear to walk in the faith and in the grace of the spirit. And so our whole journey in Christ is being perfected in love. You know, it is a journey. It is a state of becoming, you know. And if we don't understand how much, even grow in how much God loves us, we will continue to try to follow rules or perform to get God's attention or approval, right? And like I said, this sounds very simple, but it is very deeply ingrained in us as human beings, you know, that we have a list in our heads, you know, I was good here, I did the right thing there. Oh, what about over here when I was driving? Or, you know what I mean? And we can equate our position in the Lord by what we are doing. And on the other hand, right? On the other hand, we walk by faith, not by sight, you know? And so we have works with deeds, but it isn't the deeds that save us, right? But it is a fruit of the inward disposition of our relationship with the Lord. It's an outpouring, and it's usually generous, and it demonstrates His character as we open up ourselves to the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. And in 1 John 4, it also talks about God is love. He's the personification of love, all wrapped up in who He is. And when you think of what's been spoken of, like eternity, we are going to learn of His love forever. That is how grand, how immense, how superior He is as master of the universe. He rules and reigns everything. But we only have, right, just a small portion of what He reveals to us of Himself this side of eternity. But what makes that grow exponentially is the love of God that we show to one another. It's always horizontal and vertical, our relationship, right? If we're say we love God and we hate our brother, what does the scripture say? The love of God is not in you. Maybe you're a Christian, but maybe the love of God is not in you. You need to ask the Lord for more of that love. And He loves us because He is love. That sounds simple, right? Not because we're perfect, not because we're good. We are totally accepted in Christ Jesus because of what He did. We can't add to it. We can't subtract to it, subtract from it. And we live in that kind of grace and are filled with love, again, not on our performance or our law, but on the gift that is the love of God. If we love Him, right, it says we love Him because He first loved us. If we're running around trying to earn, we're not going to love Him properly because we have to have His love in us to love Him back properly, right? And I know these are very simplistic ideas, but they really run deep in our humanity and in our flesh, you know, and also in varying degrees, depending on what kind of life you had, you know, what experiences you've had, you know, all those kinds of things factor in. And then again, in Ephesians, it says, for by grace, see, these are familiar scriptures, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this grace, and this faith, it is the gift of God. So, what's the first thing we ought to do when we come to the Lord. You know, in our prayer time or in church or whatever, we need to understand He's a gift-giving God. And if we just open up our hearts and are vulnerable to receive, that's all we need to do. Because that gift is manifested in us. And that gift gives us the grace to have faith. You don't have to white knuckle it. You don't have to, you know, keep confessing, you know, whatever, you know, I'm whatever. You guys know what I'm talking about. Fill in the blank, right? You don't have to be loud. You don't have to, you know, go through a method. You don't have to copy methods that you know from the Old Testament. You know, we're going to march around for Jericho for 3 days or 7 days or whatever, and we're all going to shout. Sometimes those are prophetic actions. I'm not taking away from that. I'm just saying there's not a routine or a method. What we do is we receive the grace of God by the Holy Spirit that's been given to us as a gift, right? As well, and we follow the Spirit's leading. You know, and it takes time as a disciple to say no to your humanity, to your flesh, to your own soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Sometimes, like in the Psalms, when David would you know, utter words, he'd say, "Be quiet, soul. My thoughts want to raise themselves up against the knowledge of God and say He's not who He said He is, and my will, I don't want to do what God wants me to do. You know, my emotions, I'm not feeling it, so it must not be real." We know we don't live by our emotions, but our culture says otherwise, right? And emotions are emotions. They're just that. They change, right? That doesn't determine our standing in Christ Jesus. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Our standing in Christ Jesus is because of who He said He is and who He says we are in Him, you know? So I think that's really important to understand that faith isn't, you know, hammering it, saying it so many times. And when you're walking in faith, there are times, like, say, you're reading your word and it doesn't feel like it's merged into your spirit, so to speak. So you just stay there, right? And you meditate it and you think on it. And eventually, if it is the Holy Spirit, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your spirit will get in line with that thing, right? There are mysteries in Christ that we do not understand, and we're not going to understand. And that's where we have to just have faith and believe, just as He had faith and believed in the Father over some really harrowing situations, right? Over a lot of things, not even talking about the cross, but over, you know, losing his best friend Lazarus, over people not believing him, you know, over, you know, demons crying out after him. And so we have to learn how to walk by the Spirit. And I think for most of the part we do, but how many of you know it's like a revolving door? We're in, we're out. We're in, we're out, right? And it just takes discipline and time to, you know, receive the love of God and respond to that love. If we have a relationship based on love, there's nothing that can stop you from loving that person. There's nothing that can stop you from loving Jesus if we love him, right? If he's loving on us and fills us with his love, that's what we have to give. It isn't that we become more loving people. It is because his very nature takes residence in us and is lived through us, right? We don't just are nicer people. Yes, we experience redemption in different places, but it really is as we expand in our relationship with the Lord, he lives through us, right? And we begin that relationship by being vulnerable to his love. And a lot of us have hang-ups about intimacy. We a lot of us have hang-ups about trust, right? And a lot of us have hang-ups about the fears. What if people really knew what I was like? We present this level of ourselves mostly to everybody, right? Maybe to our closest friends, a deeper level. And so much of our lives are hidden, right? We're afraid to be known for who we are, or we're afraid to be rejected, or we're afraid what people are going to think of us. That's another kind of fear that's very debilitating, right? So as we grow in the body of Christ, we start living in a deeper place in God, and we start exchanging that part of his nature with one another, and we display a grander representative of who God is to the world and, to those that we're in relationship with. So that's really good. Let me read 1 John 4:16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. So we know and rely. When we are receiving the love of God, we are knowing it deep within ourselves, and we rely on it. We trust it. We rely on it. And it's not, again, it's not that false sense of faith that has you, declaring and naming and all kinds of senseless, nonsensical desires for things and so on. But really, when we're in the spirit, we start really praying and loving people in our prayers for their benefit and for their good, and even our enemies, right? And that one is a tough one. Because I find that, it happens in layers, right? It's like, in faith, I forgive that person. However, a little bit down the line, some of those issues come back up, and I have another choice to make, right? Am I going to forgive at that deeper level and be so that I can walk in freedom or not? If Again, I've said this many times. If you have a root of bitterness or unforgiveness in your heart, here's the real tell that it's going on. You rehearse it over and over and over again in your mind. You hear the words, you know what that person was wearing, you know where you were. The details are so sharp, and it just goes over and over and over in your mind. Now, if you get to that point in a relationship, especially in, the body of Christ, there are a couple of ways that you can deal with it. First, you can pray yourself and you can forgive, right? If it's lingering, if it keeps nagging at you, it feels unresolved, you are, and we are called to be peacemakers. Peacemakers mean it takes effort. It's not sweeping it under the rug. It's coming together and making something together where we have some resolve, where there's forgiveness, where there's healing. So be, blessed are the peacemakers. Basically, you're a humble referee, right? You humble yourself, you deal with your own log and your own eye, right? And then you deal gently and tenderly with a speck in your brother or sister's eye. And if you don't do it in that order, it may not have a good outcome, right? So we are to be humble, and we are to esteem one another as greater than ourselves. And that means really esteem, not flatter. There's a lot of flattery. Anybody that can do you good, if you have an agenda, there you're going to see flattery, right? You'll see it all across in all kinds of, churches, in fact, we've been to churches where, the pastors are like on thrones, so to speak, and they have attendants, and it's just not how it is here. We all wash each other's feet. We all serve one another. If you're called to an apostolic ministry, you're not just receiving from people adoration, monies, and so on. You're washing their feet. You're serving the community, and so pretty much we know who's real and who's not real, right? Because we're Bible taught and taught very well. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when we're talking about having faith, loving God, we're hearing his word, how he loves us. And then we have faith to believe whatever it is he is asking us to do, whether it's forgiveness, whether it's an action, whether it's whatever it can be. But it is God's faith that we receive as a gift to believe more and more and more. And as we walk with him, he removes, deconstructs a lot of junk in us, right? Like imagine we're a house, right? And like if I've said it many times, if you come to my house, it may be picked up and looks real nice in a couple rooms, like kitchen, living room, right? And if you open up cupboards, things will fall on your head. And I still have a mailbox in my living room, believe it or not. If you were to go to places where I would be ashamed for you to go, you would know the reality, right? Like my art room or, my bedroom, it doesn't have carpet and, just things like that. We want God to inhabit the nice places that are we, kind of take care of, but man, he wants to go in the drawers and the basement where there's mold and there's mildew, and he wants to get rid of the dust and the mouse droppings and the, I mean, you guys know in a house you got all these things to deal with, and spiders, ugh, and all that kind of stuff. But he wants to inhabit every part of who we are. We're the temple of the Lord singularly, right? We are. Our bodies are a temple, but we are, and you said this last week, I think it was Pastor Jane, or the week before, that we are a house, we are a building. You're a living stone, and we are built one upon the other to express again the grandeur of our Father. I mean, it's gonna take all of us to demonstrate, to even hold the glory that the church is going to hold. You know what I mean? It's only a little portion. It's like heaven's a funnel, and we get this little part coming down in us, But anyways, so let me read that again. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Now, when you look at your sheet, it does tell you a lot of who you are. And these kinds of things and these scriptures can be put anywhere. If you go through them on your own and there's something like maybe you're just feeling like you don't belong, and God had, there's a scripture here that says you're accepted, you belong, or whatever, write it down. Put it on a mirror, put it in your car, whatever. There are all kinds of places you can go in here. And I like 14. I'm not a slave of fear. I am only dominated by God's power, God's love, and soundness of mind. Amen. That's a good one. Maybe we'll look at some of those if we have time. I don't know. But anyways, you have these as a resource, and I thank Carolyn for having that. In Philippians 2:13, if you want to write it as a reference, it says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good pleasure." So everything originates in God, right? He works it in you to be able to give out what he has given you. And he gives you all the grace you need to fulfill what his will is or his good pleasure. Isn't it cool that we as human beings can minister pleasure to our Creator? That's amazing. It's amazing. We just want to please the Father. We sing that song. You love that song. So again, grace is the inner disposition of Jesus in our hearts. Outside of Jesus in our hearts, we don't walk in grace, right? We have to be born again. Grace also motivates us to do both, to will and to do his pleasure. In Psalm 139, verses 2 and 3, you guys know this. This is a good one when we're praying. Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there is any wicked way in me. That's paraphrased, I think. That's a good place to start, isn't it? And how many of you know? A little bit scary. Like, you really mean it? Search me, O God, and know my heart. There are things. We all have blind spots out on us. We all have blind spots, right? There are things we don't know about ourselves or avoid, or God wants to point out from time to time. It's not all the time. When we're growing, there's always opportunity for him to do a deeper work, right? But there are things in us that we may not even be conscious of. I will say, even there's trauma that is sometimes within us that we don't recognize until the Holy Spirit reveals it. I can use myself as an example. Now, and those of you that know me know this to be true. I've always had a hard time with authority. Now, I had an abusive father, alcoholic father. I had a kind of a My mom wasn't very maternal. I'm not trying to diss my parents, believe me. She wasn't real maternal. She had five kids in 7 years. It just is a lot, right? And so not the best role models, right? I pretty much was had to raise myself and raise all those. I'm the oldest of five under me. Well, early on, I was molested by an uncle and a retired police chief and a doctor. All three are in places of authority. So once I realized the root problem of why I had issues with authority and trust, I could get free from those things. But I didn't consciously know of those things. Actually, one of the situations I did not remember till I was 50 years old. Because in my, when things were happening, I had an inner vow. You guys know what that is, you know, right? You make a vow or you kind of curse yourself. And I just said to myself, no one, that will never ever happen to me because I'm too strong. I wouldn't let it happen. So I buried it really, really deeply. And guess what? That vow made it kind of walled off that trauma. I'm just saying this so that you guys can relate. Really, this is all stuff that God's dealt with. I'm just trying to give you some examples, you know, of those deeper things that God is after, you know, and especially in the areas of trust and being vulnerable to him and understanding he is a good father. He wants to bless us, right? Okay. Now, Psalm 51, David writes, surely, Lord, you desire truth in the inward parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. So the place where we live really out of is the place deep in our spirits, the inmost place, the place where character is, the place where Jesus' nature is, and he desires truth in those places. So when we are going through situations and, sometimes the worst parts of us come out, because the squeeze is on, it's because God wants to free you from those things. It's not to punish you, it's to free you from those things. And I give you some examples of that. And so, along with having truth in inward parts, we want to be honest, honest with ourselves, honest with the Lord. And if you don't have it in you to do that, or you are unaware, like you keep hitting a wall, you keep failing in a certain area of your life, it might be wise just to have someone in the body that you trust that you can be honest with, or a pastor, or get ministry in that area. If you are repeating the same habits over and over again, it can develop into a stronghold, right? Strongholds are not penetrable by any other means than the power of God. We build up these walls first in our early lives to protect ourselves, right? And then they become something that we use as we get older sometimes. It's our deflect, and those kinds of things are harmful. If you are hurting as a young child and you have some, safety precautions that, barriers that you build up to survive, and it's still affecting you in your present life as an adult, you're no longer that kid anymore. And so that thing needs to be broken because you need to be walking in freedom. You don't have to. You're in a safe place. You're in Jesus, right? So those are the kinds of things that we deal with on a continual basis. Okay. And at those deep levels, we want to experience forgiveness, repentance. Repentance is a gift from God. We look at it as it's a bad thing, but repentance really is not just being sincerely sorry, because a lot of people can be sincerely sorry, but sincerely sorry enough to change. Change, change, change. He doesn't change, we must on a continual basis. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to persecute the next move of God because it looks different than the move of God we experienced, right? We're seeing young people. I mean, I'm telling you, every single day I'm being challenged to different ways of dealing with people, different ways of dealing with, different backgrounds, cultures, ages, and all kinds of things. And it's a challenge. It is a challenge because we all have religious habits and rules that, hey, don't you know my rules? Right. And good thing, and it is a blessing for me that I'm not a big rule keeper. I'm more of a risk taker, but that's worked out good for me. But there are still areas where there's rules to behave. There's a certain way you got to be, and like,
Somebody's in my seat.
huh?
Somebody's in my seat, the church.
Somebody's in my seat.
Walking
Yep.
in like
I can't.
I'm
Yeah. I saw that.
stupid, I know, but it's like
I know we're, but because we're people of habit, or, I mean, look, we've had some very crazy experiences here. We've had the paper bag with the bottle and, people nursing it throughout a service. And, look, they're here. If they're here, I don't care if you're tattooed from your head to your toe. I don't care if you don't have a bra on, but after a while, please wear one. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, though. You gotta love people where they're at, right? And I heard this thing this morning. It says, he will make us fishers of men What is your net? Okay, what is my net? What am I supposed to catch? What is the gift that God's given me, to attract and hold people? It's kind of a cool thing to think about. Anyways, I heard that and I thought it was kind of a cool thing. Anyways, we can be real with our mess too.
Going to be what?
We can be real with our mess, with our fears, with our pain, with our anger, our confusion. We can be real. David did it all throughout Psalms. Every kind of situation, he was depressed, and but he would start out one way, and this is a pattern we should follow because it's God's way. He would start out complaining, "Oh Lord, blah 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 blah." He was depressed, and it's legitimate. His son's trying to kill him. He screwed up with Bathsheba, and the kid died. I mean, big stuff, right? And he starts out in the Psalms, and he says all this stuff. And at almost every end, and probably maybe it is every end of every Psalm that he writes, he comes out of it, and he says, "Why are you downcast, oh my soul? Hope in God." So he speaks to his own soul. His spirit has dominion to his over his own mind, will, and emotions. Like, okay, I puked it all out. Okay, here it is. Now I need to praise God. You've been with me all along. Mercy and goodness are following me all the days of my life. Even I have a table before my enemies. You know what I'm saying? And then it ends with this uplifting praise. And sometimes you just need to get out. And God is very, very able to hear your complaints. It doesn't mean you should talk yourself into a black hole of depression, right? It means if God is with you and he's showing you some things, then just get it over with, just lay on the operating table and let him have at it, right? Okay, I'm almost done. So we need courage to be honest, right? I'm working up my courage to be honest and to be honest about some things I don't see in myself. I know that needs to be adjusted. I know there's patterns of behavior that need to be broken. And you know what? I know I can't do it on my own. So therefore, I won't be making my appointment with the pastors and getting some things right. And I hope I don't cry through the whole thing, but I probably will, right? I will. I'm not crying today. Okay, so really our prescription is to be honest with the Lord and with the body of Christ. You don't tell everybody everything the minute you meet somebody, right? You earn trust. It's like you don't marry the first guy you go out with. You court, you date, you get engaged, and you get married. That's how every relationship should be, right? You meet somebody. You don't tell them your life story and all your troubles. Yes, anybody ever do that to you? It's overwhelming. You're just like, wait a minute. You know what I mean? You're not, it's like a machine gun coming at you. It's a lot. So you need to know who you can trust, right? And like I said, the Psalms express the full range of David's emotions and his responses to different situations. I'll give you a couple examples. You can write them down. Psalm 58, verses 6 through 9 has to do with anger and despair, difficulty. Psalm 55, verses 4 and 5. Confusion, Psalm 13, verses 1 and 2. And then, as I said, at the end of his Psalms, his love for God, Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. His trust for God, Psalm 145, verses 1 through 3. When the light of the Holy Spirit shines on us, oftentimes it's painful, but God's love through his people and woven into our lives by the Holy Spirit, by his word, will bring healing, freedom, grace, peace, joy, to our deepest, innermost parts. And it will instill in us a greater sense of gratitude and appreciation and identity in Christ. So, with that, I just want to encourage you, read these because it tells you your identity in Jesus Christ. And like we always say, from Pastor Oz, you find yourself not in the spirit. Just imagine the circle. Just step in the circle and position yourself in Christ. So with that, I'm done. God bless. Amen.